Come on. Give it up for Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for Kyan's red shoes that are so cool. The Fear of God Vans shoes. Those are crazy. But Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence above everything, above all else, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, 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 we thank you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. You're the reason we're here, Lord. You're the reason we've come to church today, Lord, is to meet with you, is to encounter you, to experience your touch. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for making us more sensitive to your presence. More sensitive. Lord, going into this new year, let it be that that's our heart cry, that we would experience you more, that we would be more sensitive to you, Lord, that we would really, really, really know the God-man, Jesus. Come on, just fix your eyes on him just a little bit longer before we even open up the word together. I just want to just sit in this moment, just sit in this place. Come on, Jesus is real. He's real. He wants to be engaged with. He wants to be interacted with. Lord, we don't want to move where you're not moving. We don't want to move on if you're not moving on. We don't want to go where you're not going. We want to be smack dab in the center of where you are, in the center of your will, in the center of your will, not your program, not a program, the presence of God. We want to be smack dab in the center of your will, your presence for our lives. And Lord, I just pray in this moment that you would become so tangible to every person here. Would you become tangible? Would you manifest yourself? Would you reveal yourself to the heart that's longing for something more than just another church experience? Would you reveal yourself to the one who's longing for more than just a service? They're longing for your spirit. They're longing for your spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're just going to stay in this place. Before I moved to Idaho, I was a youth pastor at a church in Dallas, Texas called Gateway. And I remember there was this worship leader who came for a conference, our Gateway conference. Her name's Brooke Lidgardwood. Anybody ever heard of Brooke from Hillsong? She came and she was leading worship. Man, I feel the Lord. She was leading worship and she starts... I don't even remember what song it was. Do you remember? It was like, Bless God. It's a new song that she sings. She starts singing this song, Bless God in the Sanctuary. And she just starts going for it. If anybody's ever heard Brooke, she's crazy. But she just starts going for it. She's like, Bless God in the fields of empty or whatever, plenty. And she starts pacing around the stage like this, and she was like, God wants you to start pacing in your room again and praying in the spirit again. He wants you to seek him when no one else is watching. And it felt like the roof just got lifted off of the building. She led us in this moment. It was such a holy moment. It was, out of all of the time I was there at Gateway, it was the most presence of God moment I felt since I was there. I was like, this is revival. 4,000 people worshiping Jesus together. You could feel the presence of God so tangibly in the room. And she just broke through. Some people have an anointing to break through. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people have an anointing to just go, well, bam! We're going beyond the door. We're breaking through into all that God wants to do. Amen? We're not going to sit in stagnancy. We're not going to sit in this moment when there is more. Can I get an amen? And she just, bam, broke through that door. And she goes behind. I'm just going to say it because it's just so powerful. She goes into the worship room and she says, something was just deposited. It was in the green room. She says, something was just deposited here. There's a move of God's Spirit here. Now, don't smother or strangle spirit with structure. Do not strangle and smother a move of the Holy Spirit with man-made structure. And what's so crazy, this is not my message, but Kyan just introduced me and I almost started crying. So it's his fault. We're going to blame it on you, bro. But don't do that. We oftentimes, we want to put our hands on the ark and we want to carry the presence of God in our own terms. But the Lord, we want to actually do it in our own terms. We can't put our hand on what God wants to do. We have to let God do what he wants to do. Amen. We have to let him do what he wants to do. We have to go, Lord, your way, not my way. Whatever you say goes. Lord, let the fullness of who you are flow in our lives. We just pray for the fullness of your Spirit. The fullness of your Spirit, Lord, today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, for the movement of your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We love you. And we thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of knowing you. You are such a good God. If you believe that, come on, just lift up a shout in this place. So good. Thanks, Jared. Guys, give it up for Jared. Isn't he awesome? Just love Jared. Such an incredible person, such an incredible guy. And Kyan, you did so good, man. Love you. Love your heart. Man, I'm excited to be with you guys today. Are you guys excited for this Christmas season? Is excited for the holiday season? I just love Christmas. If it was my choice, I would have started Christmas right after Halloween. And just done a huge, some people are like, I'm judging you right now. You're judging me for that. Now, does anybody do that? You're like, you listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if those are, look at you guys, my people, woohoo, celebrating Christmas for a long time. You're like, we are going to extend this time. I love that. Yeah, it's such a good season. I'm excited for all that God's doing and excited for today. A couple weeks ago, I'm going to just jump straight into it, but a couple weeks ago, I preached a message called Count the Stars. Was anybody here for that message, Count the Stars? And I talked about receiving God's promises and how I believe that we're entering into a season of fulfilled promises with God and believing the Lord for that. Who's believing God for that? Let me ask you this too. Has anyone started to write a list of all of the promises and prayers that you want to see fulfilled in 2025? Raise your hand if anybody's done that. Come on, I challenged you guys. I really believe that this is going to be a year where we're going to see answered prayers. And this is what I feel prophetically. I feel prophetically we're going to see God answer miraculous, supernatural prayers in our life. And we're going to see unfulfilled promises fulfilled. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that. And even if we don't see God moving, he is still moving. Amen. Even if we don't feel his presence, it doesn't mean that he's not here. He is so here. And so I'm excited. I want to jump right into this, but we're gonna kind of do a part two from that message. And we're going to start in Genesis 16. So turn your Bibles to Genesis 16. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 2. And I'm really, really excited for this. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at three different people. We're going to look at three different people who received a similar promise in Scripture. But what we're going to do is we're going to look specifically at their response to the promise that was given. Are you with me? So how many people know this today, that God is still speaking? Who believes that God is still speaking? Who believes that you can hear his voice? Raise your hand if you believe you can hear his voice. If you don't believe that, I want to just start by saying this. In John chapter 10, it says that God's sheep hear and know his voice, and a stranger's voice they do not follow. So God's sheep, who's God's sheep? Who, just give me a baa. Say baa. Okay? You're a sheep. If you didn't know that and you have a good shepherd, and we lack nothing because we have a good shepherd in Jesus. And he longs for us to know his voice. He longs for us to hear his voice and follow where his voice is telling us to go. Amen? I want to say this too before I kind of get into the meat of this. But if we value the voice of God, let me say it like this. God's voice never contradicts God's word. Do you believe that? God's voice, his spoken voice, visions, dreams, prophetic words, it should never, ever contradict the word of God. And if sometimes we can value God's spoken voice or spoken word over his written word. And let me just give you like a little bit of a red flag here. If that is the case, you can easily fall into deception. If we value a spoken voice over what's written in here, and we go, I'm just going to follow what I hear and not follow this, how many know that you can easily get deceived? Because there's so many voices out there. I'm not going to follow a prophet when I already have the written word. I'm not just going to follow a YouTube prophet and go like, well, the YouTube prophet said, well, what does God's word say? Anybody following me today? Even for me, whenever, or Pastor Lynn, or whoever comes up here and preaches, you have got to know this so that you can test what's being spoken to you. You don't value my words above this word. You only value this. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Or not only. I hope that my message supplements what's in here. Does that make sense? And so I want to start by saying that because I believe that God, just like he's making us sensitive to his presence, is making us sensitive or wants to make us more sensitive to his word. That his word has the power to change us. And I believe that in this time, he wants to speak, release fresh vision and promises in your life. Do you believe that? And so we're going to look at these three different responses. So I want to turn to Genesis 16, verse 1 and 2. Remember, Abraham in Genesis 15, he comes out of his tent, and the Lord says, look up at the stars. These are the numbers of your descendants. And like I said in Genesis 15, God told Abram to look at the stars in the day. Do you remember that? Why did the father tell him to do that? To show him, even though you don't see the promise now, the promise is coming. Just because the sun is out doesn't mean the stars aren't behind the sun. Doesn't mean the promises aren't there. The promises are there whether you see them or not. They're hanging over your head. Come on, somebody. They're right there. And so Genesis 15, the father gives this promise to Abram. And he tells him, hey, you will be a father of nations. You will have many descendants that number the stars. That's the promise. And in Genesis 16, verse 1, it says this. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So they get this promise. It says she's borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her, and Abram agreed to what Sarai said. You guys following this? Okay, so I'm going to move through this a little bit quickly because we have three different stories we're going to hit here. But somewhere here in Sarai's mind, she is disqualifying herself from her husband's promise. Somewhere in her mind, because of a natural circumstance, she says, Abram, this is me thinking about what's inside of her mind, okay? She's like, Abram, that's great that the Lord spoke to you that way, but the Lord hasn't really spoken to me. And look it, I have no ability to actually give you kids. I'm barren. And so Sarai here in Genesis 16 is looking at her natural circumstance instead of seeing things from God's perspective and able to receive God's promise. Are you following me? So she looks at her natural circumstance, and Sarah disqualifies herself from the promise that God has spoken to her husband. Let me just tell you this. For spouses in here, if the Lord has given your spouse a promise, that means it belongs to you too. Woo! Just because, you know, my wife got something spoken to her, it doesn't mean I'm not a part of that, because her and I are one. And so if the Lord speaks something to her, it means it also belongs to me. And Sarai in this moment says, no, I'm not actually going to be a part of this miracle, and we are going to make this promise happen through natural means. Let me break this down for you. Sometimes when God speaks to us a promise, a prophetic word, or we read something in his word, our natural mind wants to make the promise happen in our own ability. We grab the word and we go, wait a second. I'm supposed to go to the nations. I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to be a millionaire. And we try and figure out and rationalize how we can naturally do that in our own ability. And let me just say this. If the dream that is in your heart is possible with you, it's probably not God's dream. If the dream that's inside of your heart is capable of being accomplished with your ability, it's not a God dream. God, it is good. Thanks, Dave. God's dream for your life and God's promises for your life require supernatural grace to accomplish that promise, not our own ability. And so Sarai here goes, here's how we're going to make this promise happen. I know how it all works. Just sleep with Hagar, and then I'll try and build a family. But that wasn't God's plan. God wanted to make the promise happen supernaturally, so he got the credit and not Sarai. Are you guys following this? And so we try in our own minds, we try to fulfill promises of God in our own ability instead of trusting him for his ability to make the promise come about. And why that is so good is because in this life, the promises of God are all yes and amen through Christ Jesus, which means you didn't accomplish the promise. He does. It's not on your shoulders to make this thing happen. All that's required in this is faith. So check this out. So Genesis 16. Go to Genesis 17. It's not going to be up on the screen. But in Genesis 17, God changes Abram and Sarai's names. Not just Abram to Abraham. He changes Sarai's name to Sarah. Say Sarah. Sarah. Sarai in the Hebrew means this, my princess. But Sarah means mother of nations. So check this out. God, from his perspective, calls Sarai, Sarah, a mother of nations before she's ever a mother of one. So from heaven's vantage point, in Genesis 17, she's had no kids yet. She's still barren. She still can't bear a child. But the Lord says, I know you can't bear a child in your own mind, but through heaven's perspective, we call you a mother of nations. You're not just a princess to Abram. You are a mother of many nations. And through you, my family will be born. Through Sarah. not just through Abraham, through Sarah. I want you to think about how crazy this would be if your name was, let's just think about it from her perspective. All her life, people call her Sarai, which means princess. And then all of a sudden, God says, no longer will people call you Sarai, people will call you Sarah. They're going to call you mother. Now think of this, when someone comes up to her and they say, hey, Sarai, and she has to correct them and go, actually, my name is mother. My name is mother of nations now. I don't know if you heard, my name is Sarah. And I wonder how hard that would be for her when she still doesn't have a child. But she has to tell everyone around her that her new identity is a mother instead of princess. And every single day, Sarah now has to be reaffirmed and confronted with her new name, which means mother of nations. And let me say this, sometimes before we step into our promise, we need a new identity. Sometimes, in order for us to receive the promises of God in our life, we need to be reaffirmed in our identity. Let me say it like this. If God said that you are an author and you're going to write books, let's say this. Let's say you got a prophetic word that you're supposed to be a writer. You are an author from heaven's perspective before you ever write a book. Only Pastor Matthew caught that. Okay. If heaven's word over your life is that you're a writer and you've had a challenge. I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe someone's supposed to be a writer in here. And you've been challenged to write a book, but you feel like, I don't know where to start. I promise that if you just start, the book's going to fly out of you. Because heaven sees an author before you ever wrote the book. And heaven saw a mother before she ever had a child. Come on, somebody. We need to be reaffirmed and established in the identity that God wants to give us. I love this. Every day, Sarah is confronted with God's affirmation over her life. Every day. Mother of nations, no kids. How can this be? God is trying to put a seed of faith in a woman who's been doubting. Okay, let me show you this. Genesis 18. We're going to move through this quick. Genesis 18, 9 through 15. And the context of this before we get there is Abram is, this is again, Jonah Coyne kind of paraphrase version, okay? He's sitting on his rocking chair outside of the tent. This is Genesis 18, verse 1. And it says, the Lord appears to Abraham, but then it says three men appear. And some people think that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some people think it's Jesus, Gabriel, Michael. I'm not going to go into that today. But the Lord appears and three men appear, and Abraham cooks, he has Sarah cook them a meal, and he has this conversation with these three heavenly people. He bows down to them. And in verse 9, it says this, where is your wife, Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Remember in Genesis 15, I know this is a lot of scripture, but we're building a foundation, okay? So just follow me. Remember in Genesis 15, it was 25 years. From the time that Abraham got the word in Genesis 15 to the time that Sarah had her son, Isaac. 25 years of wrestling with a promise, okay? So now the word of the Lord comes to him, comes to Abraham and comes to Sarah and says, by this time, next year, you will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, and after she says this, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, say that with me. Say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, I wonder if we have delayed promises because we have a lack of faith in receiving the promise. Guaranteed, Pastor Lynn says. So I'm taking that. Pastor Lynn says guaranteed, okay? That we are not experiencing, we actually are in delayed promises because of a lack of faith. And again, come on, Sarah, your name's been changed to Mother of Nations. You've got three heavenly dudes saying, next year, you're gonna have a son, and you laugh to yourself. And then they have to say, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Come on. When the word of the Lord is spoken, it will not return back to God void. That's what scripture says. When he speaks, he surely will set out to do and accomplish his will. And so it says this, verse 15. I'm just putting this in because it's funny. This is scripture comedy, okay? Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But then he said, yes, you did laugh. Oh, yes, you did. She did laugh. But I love there that her laughter, it wasn't like another response after that. Her laughter and her unbelief in this moment still did not disqualify her from the promise. And the word surely did come to pass. And Isaac was born even in the midst of a little unbelief in her heart. Even in the midst of her laughter. And you know who got the last laugh? God. God got the last laugh. Oh, you don't think it's possible because you're old? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Anything is possible for the Lord. That's an Old Testament verse. That's Old Testament reality. And the Lord is saying, nothing is too hard for me. I can do anything. And Isaac was born, whose name actually is laughter. That's what his name means. It's funny. She laughs and it's like, you're going to call him Isaac. Oh, because I have to remember the laughing thing? Thanks, God. Thanks for that one. Hey, laughter, come over here. Oh, my Lord. Here's what I love. Hebrews 11:11. It's going to be up here on the screen. Talks about Sarah in the hall of faith. And it says this, and by faith even who? Was past childbearing age and was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Isn't that crazy that in the New Testament, in the Hall of Faith, it doesn't mention her unbelief, it mentions her faith? But there's nowhere in Genesis where I go, Sarah was a woman of faith. Nowhere in those three chapters where I'm like, dude, she laughed at the promise. She laughed. But may it just be that heaven saw a mustard seed of faith, even behind the laughter. Maybe that year of her calling herself mother and everyone calling her mother, maybe just a little bit of faith rose up in her heart. And then the writer of Hebrews pulls out the gold and he says, hey, even behind the laughter, she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Come on, isn't that so good? Yes, you did laugh. Okay, I want you to fast forward to Luke chapter 1. We have a lot of scripture, and I'm doing this on purpose just to lay foundation for you, okay? It's a little bit more teachy today, but it's because we need it. We need the word. Amen? Who loves the word? I love my Bible. Just say that with me. Say, I love my Bible. Okay, when you go to Luke chapter 1, you start to enter the Christmas story. But before the Christmas story, there is another son who is promised to be born, and it is John the Baptist. Who knows John the Baptist? Crazy John. He's your crazy cousin, okay? He's got dreadlocks and he's stinky, okay? Nothing wrong with dreadlocks if you have them in here. I'm not saying that. I told Jared that he should get dreadlocks, so. All right. Someone was like, please don't, Jared. Okay. Luke, now we're all picturing Jared with dreadlocks. All right, help us God. Luke chapter 1. There is a priest in Luke chapter 1 named Zechariah. Say Zechariah. And Zechariah is a priest, and he's a Jewish priest. He makes offerings to the Lord. He's a priest on behalf of the people. He goes into the presence of God. And on this particular day, Zechariah is chosen as the priest to go into the presence of God, to go into the temple and make an offering. And while he's making the offering, the angel Gabriel shows up. Gabriel shows up, and here's what's so significant about this. The Jewish people have been in 400 years of silence. They've had no visions, no encounters, no prophetic words, no nothing. And here's Zechariah making an offering, and then boom, heavenly being right there. And Zechariah is like, you know, shaking in his boots. Maybe had an accident. Who knows? Doesn't say that. But it's quite possible. They just didn't want to add that part. Okay? But Zechariah's in there. Gabriel's standing there. Okay? Gabriel's standing there. And Zechariah is standing there. And Gabriel starts to give a promise to Zechariah. And he says, hey, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. He's a prophet. 400 years of silence are going to be over. He's a prophet who is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's a crazy word after 400 years of silence. But check out Zechariah's response. Sounds so similar, it's almost crazy. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure, this is verse 19, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Come on, this is a Jewish learned priest who should know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Like, he is literally in the same timeline. He's an old man. She's an old woman. She's past the age of childbearing. And an angel comes with a similar promise, and he doubts the promise immediately. He's like, how can that be? We're old. You chose the wrong people. And how do I know that there was doubt in there? Look at Gabriel's response. Verse 19. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. Okay, he gets a little bit fierce. He's like, I don't even know if he did that, but I'm like, maybe he did. He did a little step up thing. I don't know. Gabriel goes, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Come on, how many know every promise is good news? Every promise. Do you know this, that there are over 7,700 promises in the Word of God for His people? 7,700 promises in their good news for a future and a hope. And it says this, I've come to tell you this promise that is good news. And he says this, check this out. Now you will be silent. And you're not going to be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Okay, this is my personal belief of why the angel did this. Because faith, we're going to go there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that also poses a thought that doubt also can come by hearing. If faith can come by hearing the good news, then doubt can come by hearing different news. And the war that we have is right here in what we're listening to, what we're hearing, because what we're hearing changes the way that we think. And what I believe is that the angel says, because you didn't believe the promise, I'm going to silence your mouth so you don't sow seeds of doubt in Elizabeth. I'm going to silence your mouth. You're not going to be able to speak because I'm not going to give you any chance to prophesy in a negative light when I've already given you the word. Come on, he's like, I'm not going to give you any chance to be a false prophet. John will surely be born because Jesus is coming. And I need this prophet born, and so you're going to be silent until you can't be. And the story goes, I'm going to fast forward through it. The story goes, Elizabeth is pregnant. Elizabeth is, she's in term. She actually, the miracle happens. She was unable to bear a child. Same kind of story as Abraham and Sarah. It was a miracle pregnancy. And when Zechariah, when John was born, and they had the naming ceremony, Elizabeth goes, his name is John. But there's no one in Zechariah's family whose name is John. And so they're looking at Zechariah, and they're like, come on, say his name, Zechariah. And Zechariah grabs a tablet, and he writes down his name is John. And he shows it publicly, and then Zechariah goes, and he starts to speak and prophesy about his son. And here's why I think that's so special, is because the moment that Zechariah agreed with the prophetic word publicly, he began to speak again. The moment that John was born, the moment John was born, he wrote, his name is John, and he agreed publicly with heaven's perspective. Heaven allowed him to speak again. And what flowed out of his father? A prophetic word going like, yep, he is going to prepare the way for the Lord. Woo! Sometimes our biggest issue is what we speak over our own life. Sometimes we're so delayed in what God has for us, and we're not experiencing the promises of God over our life, is because we are prophesying Satan's language over our life. We're agreeing with a different kingdom, and we're disqualifying ourselves from receiving heaven's perspective and heaven's word over our life. You can do that, but you shouldn't do that. It's so easy for us to go, why would God choose me? Why would God make that promise for me? Look it, I'm past the age. I have this disqualification. I have this inability. Why would God make a crazy promise like that to us? And God is looking for a people who will believe his perspective and not man's. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, you can't outdream God. Just because you got a crazy word over your life doesn't mean it's not true. It must be true. Are you guys alive? Yeah. It must be true. But we're allowing, there's like two frequencies going on all the time. There's this fleshly, soulish realm frequency, and then there's a Holy Spirit frequency that every single one of us are supposed to tap into to get heaven's perspective. Come on, the Bible says you are in two places at one time. You're here on earth, but you're also seated where? In heavenly places with who? With Christ. And in Christ, you're seated there. What's that mean? You have the ability to see things from his vantage point, but we so often just see things from here. So often, we just live in this soulish flesh realm. You are not called to be led by your soul. You're called to be led by your spirit. And the reason our lives look like this, I feel like I'm preaching like a little bit today, but it's I need it. It's like we wrestle with so many things. We wrestle with our souls, with all of these emotions all the time because we're being led by our soul when you're supposed to be led by your spirit. Don't put your soul in the driver's seat. You've got to let your spirit be the one that's driving. Why? Because your spirit and Holy Spirit are one right now, if you're a Christian. Are you guys okay? Okay, so check this out. So we've seen two people's responses. Who? Abraham and Sarah, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in both of these stories, I believe there was a delayed promise. That's just my opinion at this point. One of them, the angel was like, we ain't even making time for a delayed promise. Silence, right? And the word surely comes to pass. And the Lord's teaching us something there. He's teaching us to agree with his perspective. And now I want you guys to go with me to verse 26. Luke 1, 26 We're going to look at this, the Christmas story. We're going to look at Mary's response. Luke 1, 26. And it says this. This is just so good. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and know this, Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. Or, is that right? Yep. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. So Gabriel is a busy dude at this time. He goes to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin. Not an older couple, a girl who is about to be married to a man named Joseph, and she's a young woman, but she's a virgin. And he goes to marry a virgin, and it says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Come on, can I just say this right now? If the Lord is with you, you are highly favored. Yeah. How many know that Jesus is with you right now? His favor rests upon you. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus' kingdom will never end. And she says, how will this be? Not how can this be. How do you will this to happen? Is what she's saying. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel, which is a good question, by the way. You know why that's a good question? Is because if she didn't know the answer, she would probably go and try and make this happen with Joseph. Without hearing the how this has happened, she's thinking, okay, I'm going to have a son, but tell me how I'm going to have this miracle child. Tell me how I'm going to have the Messiah. And she says this, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, and even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Come on, who believes that? No word of God over your life will ever fail. And listen to this, verse 38. This is where I'm like, oh, Mary, you are so dope. She goes, I am the Lord's servant. This is her response, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. He's like, deuces. Okay, I'm out. May your word be fulfilled. And I love, one of the translations says this, may it be done unto me according to your word. Okay, verse 39, at this time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. This is not a part of my message, but if a baby can leap in the womb and be filled with the Holy Spirit, how many know that life begins at conception? Okay? That's not a thing in there. That's a human. That is not my message for today, but bang, just got to say it. When Elizabeth, so she heard it, the baby leaps, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she, the Holy Spirit's all over her. She's prophesying. The mother of my Lord? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Now listen to what Elizabeth says. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Let me read that again. You guys got to catch this. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. out of all of these responses, Mary has the best one. And not only, it's so crazy because there is no other story of a virgin having a supernatural miracle birth. But this young girl is filled with so much faith that she says, oh, that's really how that's going to happen, Gabriel? Let it be done unto me according to your word. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be so. And Elizabeth prophetically sees this by the Spirit. You are blessed because when the promise came, you believed immediately. Something happens when God speaks. You have the ability to doubt the word or believe the word. But your doubt, I believe, I'm just saying this, I'm going to go there in Hebrews 4 and we're going to look at this. I believe that doubting God's word can delay the fulfillment of that word. In every human heart, listen, God's word is seed. We know that from Mark chapter 4. God's word is seed and the human heart is soil. There's three soils. What are they? Thorny, rocky, good. Every heart that has good soil, when God's word is sown into that heart grabs it with faith and it produces the kingdom in its heart. And it says this, that the fruit of that seed will produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold for the one that believes when the word comes. But the rocky and thorny soil, the word comes to that heart. And it says the rocks or the cares of this world, the thorns, the cares of this world will actually snuff up God's promise and word in your heart. How many people in here want a good soil? A heart with good soil to receive. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Mary in this case, that when the Lord comes to me, he would entrust me with his promise and I would believe the moment I hear it. Are you guys okay? In Hebrews chapter 4, I want you guys to turn there. It's not going to be up there on the screen. And I'm going to read this in the Message translation. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews, I think it's Paul, but it doesn't say. The writer of Hebrews says this about the Israelites. It says this. It says, for as long then as that promise of resting in Christ pulls on us to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. How are we disqualified? Listen to this. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promise didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promise with faith. Or many translations says, they did not mix the word spoken with faith. Are you guys here? Okay, this is just so good to me. I'm like, I'm having a good moment today with the Lord. This is just good for my heart. When the promise was spoken, they did not mix it or receive it with faith. And it says this, if we believe though, we'll experience the state of resting. What's that mean? Entering into the promise, but not if we don't have faith. Not if we don't have faith. So here's my suggestion, and here's just even reading commentaries on this. The reason an 11-day journey took 40 years is because the Israelites had unbelief in their heart when the promise was given. There's many other reasons, but one of the key reasons that an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land took 40 years, and they went around the mountain for 40 years, you guys, was because they did not believe God's promise for them. And they had to wait an entire generation. Moses himself didn't even go into the promised land. You know who did? A young gun named Joshua. A young guy named Joshua who, when he saw giants in the land, goes, oh, we can take them. That land belongs to us. Wait, what do you mean you guys are afraid? And it's just Joshua and Caleb. And they're like, we can take the giants. The Lord has literally given us the land. But everyone else hears a bad report and delays the promise. Do you guys know this story, the spies? The two ones believe the word. The rest of, I think it was like 10 other spies, they didn't believe the word. They go and tell the camp, and they did not enter into the promised land. Why? A bad report, a false prophetic word. Because they didn't believe the promise. Why am I sharing this with you guys today? Because I believe that when God speaks, we have got to be careful not to disqualify ourselves with what we think disqualifies us from receiving what God has for us. We have got to step into, and Jared, you can come on up. We've got to step into a place where when God speaks to us, we believe what he says. We believe the word. Come on, if there are over 7,000 promises of God in Scripture, you've got 7,000 chances to believe some good things over your life. 7,000. Well, actually, it's 7,700. 7,700 promises that are for you and not against you. And we're trying to disqualify ourselves from God doing good towards us? Disqualify ourselves from miracles today? Disqualify ourselves from what? Revival? From experiencing, can I just say it, taking a city for Jesus? Disqualifying ourselves from not just revival, but reformation? Because this is where my heart thinks. So you want to know what burns inside of my heart? Not just revival, reformation. What's the difference, Jonah? The difference is revival is for the church, reformation is for the city. You can have revival and amazing times with believers here, but reformation changes, or renaissance changes, a city. And revival was always supposed to be, it's like anti-Las Vegas. It's not what happens here stays here. It's what happens here must go out there and change the people around us. And I believe there are personal promises that God has spoken over you. And I also believe that there are corporate promises that God's spoken over our church. But we have to position ourselves in a way of going like, Lord, whatever you say to your servant, I'm going to receive it. Here I am. I'm listening. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Whatever you want for us, whatever you're speaking, whatever you have for us, we want to see from heaven's perspective. We want to see from heaven's vantage point. Whatever you say. Whatever you say, Lord. Come on, can you stand to your feet? I want you just to close your eyes all across this room. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is it that you're speaking to me? Can I say this while you're doing that? Actually, sorry. Sometimes we don't hear a new word because Jesus wants to bring up an old word that we have not fully stepped into yet. Sometimes it feels like God is not speaking something fresh or new because he wants to fulfill something that we have not walked in yet. Are you following me? That we have not fully clung to yet. Speak, Lord. All over this room. Your servants are listening, Lord. Your people are listening. Your friends are listening. Make us good stewards of your word. Make us good stewards of the promises that you are speaking over our lives. I'm going to read this verse over you, and if I can have our prayer team come forward, that'd be awesome. Just keep listening to the Lord. Silence is good. Second Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. Say everything.
Everything.
His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by these promises you may become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Lord, I thank you that your promises for us that you want to see come to pass, I believe this year, so many promises, is not just so that we could live a better life. It's so that we could look more like Jesus. And it says, Lord, that by these promises, we may become partakers of the divine nature. And Lord, I pray that for every single person in this room, that we would become partakers of the divine nature. By these great promises, by the 7,700 plus promises that you've spoken over us through your word, and promises that you've spoken over us prophetically or through dreams and visions, Lord, I pray that we would step into fullness. Come on, who wants fullness this year? I pray that we would step into fullness, and that we would run the race and obtain all that you died to give us. Every promise, come on, every promise that your blood paid for, I pray that we would step into, that we wouldn't be shy, that we wouldn't be bashful to receive a promise from God. Lord, if you spoke it, surely you want us to walk in it. You don't want us just to be a hearer of the word. You want us to be a doer of the word. And Lord, I pray that we would hear your word and become it. Lord Jesus, your name is the word of God made flesh. And I pray that your word would almost put skin on inside of our heart, Lord. That your word would become so alive. Your promises would become so alive. And Lord, all across this room, I come against fear, doubt, and unbelief. Come on, I feel it today. Come on, I want you just to do this. If you're dealing with unbelief, I want you just to put your hand in your heart of a certain area of your life. It could be anything. Unbelief to be free from something. Unbelief, anything of a promise that was spoken. Lord, all across this room, there is no shame for this. Even Sarah laughed and got the promise. But Lord, I thank you, Jesus, even in the midst of unbelief. Lord, I thank you for a mustard seed of faith in the heart of every person here that can move mountains, that can shift things. And so, Lord, we just declare to unbelief, be gone in the name of Jesus. We declare to doubt, be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in its place, I pray for the gift of faith. It's a gift. It's not something you muster up. It literally says that we have the faith of Jesus, the faith of the Son of God. I pray for the faith of the Son of God to resurrect inside of hearts, to wake up inside of hearts. And I just declare, wakey, wakey, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Wake up, O sleepy heart, O sleepy soul that's been unable to receive what God wants to do in your life. And Lord, I just declare promises falling over people this year. Come on, no longer are we going to say that's in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. No, I pray for an acceleration, a supernatural acceleration by your Spirit. Help us to shift, Lord, the way that we speak about ourselves, the way that we speak about the people around us. I pray that you would silence the gossiping lip. I pray that you would silence the negative perspective and give us heavenly perspective, Lord. Come on, you guys, I'm serious about this. Some of you, some of us, and I will put myself in this as well. Some of us, it's so easy for us to prophesy negatively about our circumstance, and we are delaying and not able to see all that God is doing because we're listening to a different voice instead of God's. And we're agreeing with that voice and we're speaking with it. We've got to be done with that as a people. Come on, Valley Church. What are you going to prophesy over your life this year? What's the prophetic vision? What's the prophetic promise that you're going to cling to and begin to speak, begin to say, begin to speak forth, begin to believe? Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, all over this place for your promises coming to pass in our lives. Lord, we love you. And like we sang 2 weeks ago, you are a promise maker and you're a promise keeper. And Lord, like Gabriel said, no word from God will ever fail. Lord, let your word transform us and bring about all that you want to do in our lives. Come on, if you believe that, I want you just to shout amen all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give a clap for the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe you. We believe in your promises. We believe it. We believe it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We believe in you. Come on, before I make a call forward, I want to just ask all over this room, if you're here, I did this last week. There were two people last week who gave their hearts to Jesus. Two people last week who gave their life to Jesus, who repented and gave their life to Jesus. I want to ask this really quick before we leave. Just every head bow, eye closed. I just want you to close your eyes really quick. All over this room, if you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you do not know Jesus, you are not born again. Jesus died to give you a new life. He died to change you, to forgive you of all your sins. And he wants to wash your sins and have an intimate relationship with you. If you want that relationship and you would say, you know, Pastor Jonah, I am not born again. I want to be born again. I want to have faith in Jesus. That's why I came to church today. I want you just to slip up your hand if that's you and you're saying, that's me. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to believe in what he did for me on the cross and in the power of his resurrection. Just give you a minute if that's you and you're here and you're saying, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, slip your hand high if that's you. No pressure. I'm not trying to pressure you. But if that's you, so I can see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If I didn't see your hand and you raised your hand, can you come and find me after service? Amen. And I want to pray with you. But I just want to pray for you all. If you need prayer today, come get prayer. If you need healing in your body, you need encouragement. If you want a fresh word from God or just to get more sensitive to his presence, we have people who would love to pray with you up here at the front. But I want to pray for you one more time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every single person here. Lord, I thank you that you've made us in your image and likeness. And Lord, I thank you for every word that you've spoken over every person in this room. May it surely come to pass, because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And your word will never fail. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 One more time, give it up for Jesus. So good.